the numbers all go to 11.
I'm talking about bands that rock! Led Zeppelin! What about Sabbath? AC/DC? Motorhead!
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it?
We're not worthy! We're not worthy!
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
I get up above the ground and raise my head. Days like this think I should be dead. One for Satan, two for me. Let's cheat the devil, it's fun, don't you agree?
Welcome to the Nothing Shocking Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bob Zarrell. With me, as always, is...
Oh, Coach Nez, sorry.
The wrong intro. That's my other podcast intro. It's supposed to be Dead Bug Studios.
You want to redo that?
No, we're good. You need a little character on the show. Check us out at zpnetwork.com, zoisonline.com, nothingshocking.libsyn.com. We're on Facebook, the Nothing Shocking Podcast community fan page, and the Quad Cities Rock and Roll Junkies interest group. Our Twitter handle is No Shock Pod. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Alexa, Stitcher. Subscribe to the show, rate and review the show. We'll read your reviews on the air. And we are sponsored by...
Yeah, we have Ragged Records, Rock Island, Illinois, and Davenport, Iowa. We also have Legends Picks Guitar Picks out of Milan, Illinois, and RockstarPicks.rocks out of Queens, New York. Oh, and by the way, the Davenport location for Ragged Records is still not open yet from the damage of the Mississippi River flood.
Our guest this week is the legendary guitarist George Lynch, Dokken, KXM.
Sweet and Lynch.
Sweet and Lynch. We talked about that a little bit. A lot of other things, really. KXM has a new album coming out. I can't find the date, but it's in September.
And is our friend Chris Collier the producer of this one?
I didn't ask him.
Nice.
I do want to apologize for the audio quality because this is one I did on my own, and I have a portable recorder that I use, and he was outside picking up dog poop, and he has a very low voice, and I had to turn it up really loud, so it was kind of distorted, so at times it may appear inaudible, but I think most of it's salvageable. So I don't know. I enjoyed the interview. I think it's a lot of interesting stuff. You know, the way they record is different than most bands do. And, you know, he basically said there will never be another Sweet and Lynch record, because if he's going to do a record like that, he's just going to do another Dokken record, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So and he talks about his projects with, is it Corey Glover from Living?
Yeah. Color. Yes, it is. Yep.
He's got one there that's pretty awesome. He's just a great guitar player. There's a lot of different sides of him that he likes to experiment with. And it's interesting. We talked mainly about KXM because their album is coming out this September. But it was, I enjoyed talking to legendary George Lynch.
Is he pretty much through playing that 80s AOR hair sound?
No. I mean, he said if he was going to do it, he wanted to do it with Dokken.
Oh.
So, I mean, he likes the Sweet and Lynch stuff. It was nothing about Michael Sweet. It was just, if he's going to do that again, why not just get together with Don and do it there?
Yeah.
So hopefully that might break a little news through our podcast. That'd be kind of fun.
That would be.
Although there is a Blabbermouth headline about him and Dokken again.
Oh.
But who knows? It's a little different. But yeah, I apologize for my voice. I'm sick still, and I apologize if the sound quality isn't the best, but it should be audible enough. I will definitely make sure and do my best to salvage as much of it as I can.
Fantastic.
All right. Enjoy.
Good night.
Hey George, how you doing?
Hey Bob.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Other than the fact that I'm picking up dog shit at the moment.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. You got the new KXM record, Circle of Dolls, coming out September 13th. I've been listening to it a lot, getting ready for the interview, and I love the chemistry the three of you have. Was that something that you had to work for, or is it something you just kind of clicked from day one?
As far as what?
The chemistry that you, between the three of you.
Oh, it was instant. It was like, three strangers meeting in the night. It was just like, whoa. When we plugged in the first day we got together on the first record, with the gas, and we said, wow, this is fun. This is cool. And the ideas just never stopped flowing. And so it's been, love at first sight.
Has your songwriting process remained the same through all three records?
Mm-hmm. Yep, all improvised, created in the studio, 12 days, 12 songs.
So you, I can't wrap my head around how that works. You just, especially some of those songs seem so involved. You start with, you just jamming in the morning, or you don't bring anything into it?
Yeah, but you think about it, we do 12-hour lockouts in the studio, you get all day. 12 hours is a long time.
Yeah.
So how long is it really, what are you talking about, a four-minute song? So 4 minutes divided into 12 hours. So you've got 12 times 60 minutes to come up with 4 minutes of music. If you look at it that way, it's not that, challenging. But, it is challenging. We get stuck sometimes on parts, and sometimes, when we look at ends, we've got to backtrack and start over, and I guess the idea doesn't work out yet. Abandon it and just start fresh, and there's obviously can't just work 2 hours straight, but generally it's the ideas, we never have a shortage of ideas. It's never a problem, and that's pretty much across the board. The three of us are all contributing equally, which is refreshing for me, because it's not as much the case traditionally for me. Just the fact that I have a guitar in my hands, I'm up with a lot of the stuff, just by nature of the beast. But in KXM, Ray and Duggar and myself, we're all contributing equally. Doug comes up with a lot of stuff on the bass. Ray comes up with a lot of I would say the majority of the songs, he starts the idea with his tribal psycho, beats, and it's just, okay, that's a new song. Here's a riff. And then comes in with an alternative bass line that, some pulled out of Sly and Family Stone or something that you didn't expect. And you're like, whoa, okay, that's cool. Now we need another part. What comes to mind? And that's usually, we come up with something that makes that. And then we get our A, B, and C sections, and we arrange it, piece it all together. And Ray is interesting in the sense that he, a lot of times, will try to mix things up by altering, the time of the song. So instead of straight 4-4, a lot of times you're breaking that up into fractions and making it a little more challenging for ourselves and the listener. And that's cool. That's something I'm used to doing a lot of.
Are there any rules? Most bands have, this is what we sound like. When you guys go in there to jam and write, is there anything off limits, or is it just whatever you come up with, we're going to try to work this out and make it a song?
Well, the number one rule is no preconceived ideas are allowed in the studio. So nothing you've worked on, or you have a song idea, anything like that, that gets shut down right away. So, and Ray's real good at shutting that down. He's the song police. Other than that, we don't have any limitations as to what genre we might pull from, or influence we might use in a part or direction. But obviously at the time it's really gratuitous, we dropped that idea. We've toyed with some different things, ska-like and funky stuff and metal-y stuff that not really convincing, for one reason or the other. So, yeah, we, we, we the, the, the point of the band is to really be untethered and just do whatever we want. But we do have certain innate restraints just by design because of who we are.
Right.
It's almost like, you know, you don't want to be that guy that tries to reinvent himself just to say he could, you know. We're not trying to do that. And, but we all have other influences and we all listen to all kinds of music. So, you know, we listen to a lot of different things that we love, and for those filtered their way down to influence of our songwriting, that's just not natural. You know, it'd be a little harder to do that with some of our other projects, like Bushmod, for instance, for me. Like, you know, there's parameters I have to work with him. And I don't have those kind of limitations to kids.
Is that something that at any point in your career was frustrating, where, I know you mentioned having parameters, but have you ever felt like really handcuffed as a songwriter, especially once you had success with like Dokken and Lynch Mob, were there producers or bandmates or fans or even yourself that you just felt handcuffed as a songwriter?
Usually those limitations are not limitations of imagination, but limitations of the ability of the members. You know, for instance, you know, I'm playing in Dokken, you know, I mean, we're not going to go bust out a cover of a Sly and the Family Stone song or, you know, a Howl Player song or James Brown. You know, it's just not that.
Right.
It's not in the DNA, right? But, or even blues, you know, it wouldn't work. I think it's just wouldn't be convincing. It's not how we're built. It'd be another thing. So I think that's why the Lynch Mob, I went in a different direction, because I was yearning to be more in the blues, the heart, the blues direction and the funk direction. I grew up with R&B music and blues music. So that comes natural to me.
You know,
so yeah, it can be frustrating, but you know, the frustration leads to trying harder, which leads to obviously, you know, hopefully writing better songs and playing better. So serves the purpose.
Back to KXM, the 12 songs, 12 days, 12 hours. Is that, you're recording it in that time too? Does that prevent you from overthinking things, especially when it comes to the recording? Because it's definitely a very live sound. Like, it sounds like a band that's been touring forever when you listen to the record. Is that, you know, those parameters, does that prevent you from overthinking and, I don't know, kind of making it too perfect?
Well, yeah, but on the flip side of that coin is, you know, using the term overthinking in a derogatory way, maybe nothing wrong with thinking about something harder and making it better. So there's that, you know. And
right.
So, you know, my one small regret is that, we talk about this, is that, you know, we're leaving stuff on the table. So we listen to any one of our three records now, and half of the record or a third of the record is sort of frustrating to listen to, because we're like, oh, we didn't really expect, you know, we could have done better here, and you know, we didn't quite nail this arrangement and so forth. So that can be frustrating. So we just have to decide what we are. I go, well, are we going to live with the, you know, the limitations of the way that we're making these records? Or we want to go back to doing traditional records, where we do pre-production, pre-write songs, and work on them until we feel that they're as close as we can get them. And it takes a lot more time, and it's, you know, really worth it out most of the time with the other band. So, and we decided not to. We said, no, let's make this unique, and honestly, we don't have time to do that. So it's not broken, it's not fixed.
I'm not going to ask you if you're ever going to tour KXM, because I know you get that every interview, but I'll tell you what Doug told us when we asked him if KXM would ever tour, and he said that the main reason you don't is Fieldy has so many cars and toys that to pay for that he can't afford it for Korn to take a break. Is that kind of where...
I never said that.
Doug Pinnock said that.
Maybe somebody else said that. I think Bray said that or something, but I don't know anything about Fieldy's hobbies.
Do you remember the first?
But it's generally that's the idea, though. It's just that, yeah, we corners are going to go. Hey, yeah, we're going to take 3 months off, so you guys can have at it and go through it. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
It's not that they wouldn't take time off, but they do plan to take time off. You never know if that's going to stick. And you have to plan a tour out. And so some tour would have to be planned and booked well in advance. And then if Korn started to change, you know, they had something come up, they had to, you know, when Korn says jump, Ray says how high, and you'd have to leave, and we'd be screwed, and we'd have a dead tour that we spent months working on. And, you know, and that's very likely to happen. So it's almost impossible to plan on anything based around their hiatus.
You've got so many projects that you're working on now. I mean, you had the End Machine earlier this year. You got KXM now. You did stuff with Corey Glover, not to mention, you know, the Lynch Mob and everything else you're doing. Is it necessary to have that many plates spinning this day and age, or is it just something at this point in your career that if it sounds fun, let's see what happens?
Well, it's probably pretty dumb for me to do all these projects, but, there's definitely a glut of stuff that I'm putting out, and I don't look at it that way, but, you know, business-wise, it's just not smart, you know. I mean, you're competing with yourself, you're diluting your own market, you're confusing people. They're like, wait a minute, who are you? What band is what? Now what? So, you know, but I've just gotten to the point where I really love writing and composing and recording, you know, and playing, obviously, guitar. So I'm just frustrated, you know, doing a record every 2 years, which used to be the norm for us. You know, because the ideas don't stop, you know. And beyond that, I have the luxury of having the option to play with a lot of really interesting people that are my friends that I enjoy spending time with and writing and creating with. So it's just, you know, I stopped worrying about, it's not that I don't think about it, but I stopped worrying so much about the back end. You know, there's a business side of it. You know, I'm just going to concentrate on doing what I enjoy doing now with the world sorted out, you know. If it succeeds, fine. If, you know, I mean, I consider it a success if I make a good record and write a good song and play it. So that's all I'm trying to do. And then I figure there's enough people out there that will find it and enjoy it. That's all I can be worried about. I can't really, you know, I'm not a mogul. I'm not a business executive, record company executive. And I don't know how that machine works. As long as I've been in this business, I don't know what works. So I just, I'm going to do the best I can on my end. And hopefully, you know, people appreciate it.
You've mentioned, you know, working with some excellent people, and I've read that you have a project potentially on the horizon with Tommy Victor from Prong. What's the status of that?
It's called The Banishment, and we've been working on that for, well, it's been pretty much on the back burner, but it's been in the can. It was relatively in the can except for vocals for about maybe almost 6 years now. Wow. And my partner Hayes, who's a programmer and co-writer, engineer, mixer guy, lives in the, you know, tech and industrial world. And we're working with Tommy, and Tommy finished two songs, and everything was fine. And then Tommy's manager came on board and said, no, this isn't going to work for various reasons. And it makes sense. And he just cut about out. So, I mean, he's still on the record, but he's not going to finish the record. So we have since joined forces with a gentleman named Devitz, who's out of the ministry camp. He's an insane, real young guy, great, great singer. And in that vein, you know, the Tommy Victor vein, the ministry vein. And, we're working on finishing up the record, and it's very close right now, and we're talking a couple labels. So, you know, we're that's moving again. It's a really exciting record because it's, probably the most, that and Ultraphonics are the most different than what I'm known for and what I'm used to playing. So they're challenging and, you know, kind of a big stretch for me. It's, you know, a big stretch, but, you know, a little more of a stretch than just doing a Lynch Mob record or a Dokken record. And for that reason, they were very fun, you know, because it was just so vivid to me, you know. It's like a new thing that I hadn't done before, so I was like, wow. This is exciting. And so so that'll be hopefully coming out next year at some point, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's called The Band.
Very cool. I also love the two records you did with Michael Sweet. Is there any chance of that collaboration coming back together?
I don't really think so. No, I think we just kind of did what we were, you know, I mean, it's good melodic rock music, obviously, and it harkens back to the kind of the Dawkins style formula. And, you know, Mike has that beautiful power singer, melodic voice, and it's all, it's wonderful. But, you know, if I were to do something like that again, I could want to do it with actually with Dawkins. You know, that would make a lot more sense. I mean, again, Sweet and Lynch in the tour and Dungeon Records, and I don't know if we have much more to say. And we both got a lot of other things going on. So if I'm going to do another record in that vein, I think it would make more sense to do it with Don and Jeff and Nick, and you know, make a big bang out of it.
Cool. Is there anything else that you want to plug before I end the interview?
Well, I've got a live Ultraphonics record coming out at some point on Ear Music in Germany. And it's basically live in the studio 3 days, just jamming with Corey Glover and Tonsha Tomaselli and Chris Moore. And it's jamming. It's not like there are no songs. It's awesome. Just going off and having fun and playing, and just, you know, 15-minute just musical journey off the top of our head. So it's very gratuitous, and that'll be coming out sometime as well next year, I imagine. But then there's another record that I got just finished up called Dirty Shirley. And that's what the singer's name is, Dino, from Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Cool.
And then we've got the drummer from Evanescence, Will Hunt,
mm-hmm.
and the bass player from Uriah Heep. And it's a fun record, too. It's very interesting. And Dino has been a phenomenal singer, very much in like a young Coverdale, Dio-esque vein, but very exciting to listen to. Raises goosebumps every time I hear him sing. It's my energy. 27-year-old Croatian kid. He's a fantastic singer. So, So we've got a lot of things in the pipeline. And there's some talk of doing another The End Machine record starting in the winter. But and at the moment, I'm actually in the middle of, we just started actually working on a new Inchmont record. So we're about 5-6 songs into that, and pre-production wise, so that'll be something that'll be coming out down the road as well.
That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm a big fan, and I love everything you do, and just keep doing it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.